Welcome to Hot Off the Press, a podcast that provides knowledge and emotional support for new and aspiring printers. I'm Jillian of Studio Soprano.
And I'm Mariah of Mariah Creates, and we are two letterpress printers who believe in sharing our knowledge and learning together.
We're here to help bridge the gap between antique printing methods and modern design.
So hang up your apron,
put down those palette knives,
and let's get into what's hot off the press. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Hot Off the Press. I'm Mariah of Mariah Creates, and I'm here with my biz bestie and fellow printer, Jillian of Studio Soprano. Today, we're talking about something that all of us need at some point, and that is inspiration.
Inspiration. Yeah, all too often we hear or read about people, quote unquote, stealing other people's designs or concepts. We know it happens. And we know that all Pinterest or the internet in general is the most common place to search for inspo. When I worked in design firms designing hotels, 90% of what we did was go to Pinterest and find images or mood. And it just became this cyclical thing of us just recreating other hotels, basically.
Yeah.
And kind of modge-podging hotel ideas together into a new hotel. But did you know that there's an entire world outside?
Fun fact.
Fun fact that you can gather inspiration from. And Mariah and I have, you know, we've hit the struggle bus with being in a creative rut enough times to know that sometimes it's just simple as going outside and looking at something that you may have seen many times, but you've never really looked at, and then gaining inspiration from it. So we just wanted to talk about some ideas regarding gathering inspiration from beyond your computer screen.
Beyond any screen, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we all love to scroll, and, you know, we've talked in previous episodes about how many screenshots we both have on our phones. Clearly, we both love to save inspiration from the internet, but you know, there's a lot of integrity to be considered. And also just there's so much out there that you can use as inspiration if you're like thinking about it in that way. So, you know, let's talk about what it feels like to be stuck in that creative rut. And then we'll talk about how to break out of that. We've all been there. You know, you're trying to design something. I recently have been very stuck on a design for myself.
And always it's really the hard. Worst.
Totally. I'm the worst client to myself. But you know, you definitely, if you're scrolling social media or Pinterest, you know, you can kind of play the comparison game and you see, you know, this person's designed this and this and this and this, and it's all so beautiful. And, you know, you can definitely fall into a little hole of jealousy or into that, like, you know, I should be doing more. I should be doing more all the time. I should be able to illustrate or do watercolors or do all these other things that artistic, you know, people can do. So it's hard to get out of your creative rut if you're comparing yourself to others. Also, if someone has created a work and you're looking at it and you're designing your thing, you're very likely to create something that's pretty similar. It's just the way the cookie crumbles. You know, when you see a design of an imitation you like, and then you're going to go hop straight into your Adobe Illustrator file and start designing your thing. And then you think, oh no, this would look better with a serif. You know, then all of a sudden, I'm sure you finish your design, you look at the other one, you're like, well, I just recreated that exact same image. So obviously that's a problem. You want your creative, you know, energy to go into something that's 100% your own and something unique. And yeah. So.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I would even add on to that. So when I schedule out design days for clients, I know it is a big no-no for me to even get on Instagram, even if I'm just trying to check my DMs or something, because inevitably the very first thing that's going to pop up is something stunning designed by someone else. And even if that's not even close to the vibe that I'm creating, instantly I feel this added sense of pressure of going above and beyond. I always want to go above and beyond for my clients, but my brain tries to level up what above and beyond means every freaking second.
Yeah.
So I will see this beautifully like layered suite with this velvet ribbon and all of this stuff and this die cut envelope. And then I open up my blank Illustrator file and I'm like, how am I even going to come close to delivering for my client the way that these people are delivering for theirs? And it's just that added pressure stunts your creativity. Whereas if I never opened the app that morning, maybe went for, you know, a little brisk walk just to get my blood pumping and then came back to my desk, I probably would come up with something really freaking cool that I loved and done it way quicker than, you know, being in my creative rut.
Yeah. And sitting there and stewing in it. Yeah. I definitely dug myself into a little imposter syndrome hole with my own design. So I found this illustration that I was like, oh, this could be really cool, but I wanted it to be a little bit different. And so then I was like, I can't draw. I will never pretend that I'm a good artist in the typical mediums. I don't paint, I don't sketch, I don't do any of those things remotely well. I can handle a computer really greatly, but I just kept trying to find the perfect graphic. It had to be just right. Everything I found was like close, but not quite, or it wasn't the right like shape that I needed or whatever. And then I was getting so frustrated and thinking, I should just be able to draw this. Like, it shouldn't be that difficult. And I tried in Illustrator using tools to do it rather than just sketching it out, right? I thought, okay, I can't draw, but I can use Illustrator. Maybe I can like figure out how to make that look. And I just could not get it. Well, I came back to it today and I popped on my little iPad and went into Procreate and drew out the thing. And it turned out exactly what I was hoping and what I had been wanting. And like, I think I just really got in my own head that like, I can't draw. So like creating even a simple pattern is impossible for me. And like, it isn't impossible. Nothing is impossible. You know, you can totally do it, but getting into that mindset and getting stuck in that cycle of, you know, I should be able to do this, I should be able to do that, or like, I'm not a real designer because I can't draw this pattern. Those things are not helpful, but it's really hard to get out of that rut. So yeah, what worked for me is just stepping away. But yeah.
And that is usually the case. I feel like when you are in a creative rut, it's because you spent too much time behind your computer. I mean, we do so much stuff with screens, whether it's promoting our business on social media or scrolling social media just because our brains need a quote unquote break, which social media is never a break for your brain ever. It's not a break. But yeah, we're on our computers all the time and we get into these little mini routines with ourselves. And we don't realize that we're just constantly draining the cup and we're not necessarily always refilling it. And that refilling doesn't have to be a super dramatic gesture of a week-long vacation. Last week, my husband and I went camping with friends and we were literally only gone for a full day because we left Saturday morning and came back Sunday night. And just that day of being out of Los Angeles, being out of cell service, refilled my cup enough that I came back like with ideas, with good vibes, good working creativity vibes. Yes. And it's so important to sometimes recognize that just stepping away from your beliefs and your computer and your routine and just immersing yourself in something a little bit different can totally change a perspective for you on something.
Yeah. And I think first step, of course, with anything is admitting you have a problem, LOL. But admitting that you're in a rut and me getting frustrated and like getting snappy with my husband or whatever, I'm like, oh no, I'm just frustrated at this. I need to just walk away. Like admitting that you're in a rut is the first step to recovery. And then you can work on breaking out of that rut. So. Yeah.
So let's talk about breaking out of it.
Perfect.
Yeah. So we've already mentioned it, but like a very simple one is just to take a walk or do some exercise, get some fresh air. It all gets your mind off of it. And honestly, like just getting blood flowing to your brain is going to help.
Literally.
And I don't remember if I read it or if somebody said it in a lecture or something, but it's taking a break with the expectation of yielding something out of it is not a break. So like, if you're truly going on a creative journey walk and you're looking for inspiration, then you just have to go in with the intent of doing that. So then when you're taking your walk, look around. Have you really looked at all the houses? Have you looked at the fonts on the numbers on the houses? Have you looked at, you know, the colors of the flower beds? Signs for businesses that you walk by. pay good attention to everything that you see and smell and hear as you're taking a walk. But if you feel overwhelmed and you want to take a break, then you walk and you don't expect anything out of yourself from it. You're just going for a walk.
Yeah.
You're Those are two different approaches to the same thing.
Those are two different walks. Yeah. So, yeah, I think like, you know, your walk for a break is like putting on a playlist or a podcast or something that's unrelated, right? But walking in actual search of inspiration is not a break.
Yeah. Those are walking is such a good way to get inspiration because or even like a bike, like some form of slower movement. We drive down this one street constantly, and not that this gave me design inspiration, but the other day we were stuck in traffic down that same street and I was like, this place is named Numero Uno Market. I've never seen this before. And Zach was like, we've passed Numero Uno Market 90,000 times. And I was like, no, we haven't. I've never seen this before. But when you're driving at a faster speed, you miss stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously you're driving. You shouldn't be paying attention to signs and whatever. But if you take a walk or get on a bike and you're just strolling along, you're inevitably going to see something that you haven't seen before. And you'd be really surprised. I've been completely inspired by just the shape of someone's doorway
or and window.
Or the color of their house. Some people just pick the best shades for their house because they're a little kind of pop of color, but still neutral enough to not be that bright purple house on the street or something, you know? Like, there's a lot of inspiration to find on a walk. Yeah. And another thing that you can do is if you've ever heard of Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way, I read that a few years back, and she recommends scheduling artist dates. And it sounds really corny and really cheesy, and you have to be kind of willing to go do something by yourself or find a creative friend who will go with you. But the thing about going with a creative friend is you guys are probably just going to chit-chat and gossip the whole time. So like, I highly recommend going by yourself.
Yeah.
But some of the ones that I did is I went to the Getty Museum here by myself. I went to a new museum opened up that's all movie memorabilia. I've walked some public gardens. I've just gone down to the beach and sat in the sand and listened to the ocean. Those little things can just put you in a different space and allow you to find ideas that exist within you that are just untapped because you're just going through your routine every day.
Perfect. Yeah. And I mean, there's so many places that could be inspiring. Like, I mean, you covered quite a few of them, but like, I also think of the arts in other formats, like go see a live performance of music or a play, go to your local book art center or, you know, a open house at another artist's studio, a painter or a photographer or something. Go, you know, absorb some art that is not just whatever it is that your medium is. If you're a stationer, we are. Go somewhere that doesn't involve paper. You know, there's a lot of other art forms out there and, you know, you can draw inspiration from them or, you know, just feeling uplifted from that beautiful, you know, performance you saw. It can be enough to kind of help you break out of a rut or to, you know, make you feel mentally you're in a place where you can be inspired. Yeah. You can also meet up with other creatives. I know that you, like, there's some downsides to that, Julian mentioned, but, you know, if maybe, you know, you guys can work on a project together, or maybe you could go visit your friend who has a super cool shop up in St. Joseph, Minnesota with a whole bunch of different types of type. And, you know, her work is very different than yours. So you're not going to be like, there's no realm of possibility you're going to copy anything, but like seeing all of that and seeing what she's doing and watching her print some of her, you know, lino blocks, that could be really awesome and inspiring and get you thinking about new ways to do things that you already do. Hi, Mary. We miss you.
Hi, Mary. Yeah. Actually, I just did this recently with my friend Erin, who does these really amazing marbled papers. And she was willing to like let me come over. And I marbled literally so much stuff. I even marbled a vinyl record. And yeah, just that whole experience, like, oh, it was so rejuvenating. It was like the most stressful week of my life, but those were the most rejuvenating few hours. So yeah, if you're meeting up with other creatives, just set the intention of either sharing yours or theirs processes or like, let's work on something together or let's collaborate on something. But yeah, if you're setting an intention to like do something productive together, then it's going to yield some positive juices.
For sure. And
you know, also chit-chatting and gossiping also sometimes yield positive juices, but it all depends.
Sometimes necessary. Yeah. I also want to say, like, you know, Jillian and I have the very fortunate opportunity to do this because we, you know, talk to each other all the time and we're both in the same industry. But if one of us gets stuck, we're constantly sending screenshots of, what do you think about this? How do these colors feel? What do you think about this design? Like, we're always bouncing ideas off each other. And, you know, when I send something to Jillian, it's not because I want her to be like, it would look better with this font. But, and she's not going to tell me that. But it's more of like, hey, I'm stuck. Help me think about this in a different way. And, you know, maybe you have somebody in your life, a partner or a friend who, you know, is right there that can do that. Or, you know, you can send a screenshot to a friend of something you're working on and being like, here's option A, here's option B. Which do you like better? You know, so there's a lot of ways to work with other creative people where you're not just seeking out inspiration from their work, but looking for feedback or looking to get inspired by what they do, that kind of thing.
Agreed.
And then one of my favorite things to do, this is actually, I think I thought it's really funny. One of my favorite things to do is actually to get crafty in a way that doesn't relate to work. And so often, I think a lot of us and our listeners can relate to this, but when we're crafty and our hobby has something to do with any kind of art, all of a sudden, any new skill becomes something that we could quote unquote sell or make a profit off of, right? We cannot pick up another tool and be like, I could totally do this. And so if you can just pick something that doesn't relate to work, that you're not going to monetize, you're not going to turn into a job, something that you just are doing for the pure joy of it. And that could be watercolor. You could do a paint by numbers. I personally love a good coloring page, you know, just to use those markers and things that I have that are just straight up Crayola 12 pack. Those kind of crafty things that are completely unrelated to work and not something you're ever planning to monetize can be really fun and relaxing, but also kind of inspiring too. You know, maybe you're like, you know what? I really liked how these colors turned out. Or, you know, there's a cute coloring page you want to try or whatever. It just can be really fun to get, you know, get artistic in a way that you aren't going to try and force yourself to make money off of. That can probably be the cause for a lot of creative ruts too, is like a deadline or a payday or whatever. So yeah.
I agree. And so all of these things that we've mentioned so far are kind of things that, let's say, you know, you need to get, you've scheduled your design day and you know that you need to get a design out to your client, you know, the next day or something. But you can implement a lot of these. They don't have to be like, they don't have to take up a whole half of your day or an entire day. Mm-hmm. You can go for a quick walk, or your artist date can be just, you know,
phoning a friend.
Going, meeting a friend. Or if there's a really cute like boutique store or something, like I get really inspired by stationery stores. I love to see the way that they pair their color palettes. I like to see patterns that are on things. So yeah, it could be something that you do that morning, kind of get your juices flowing. But if you're feeling kind of deeper in a rut and you feel like you really need a bigger solution to a bigger problem, I would highly recommend incorporating some bit of travel. And that doesn't necessarily mean getting on a plane. It could be, you know, I'm really fortunate being in California. You drive an hour in almost any direction and you're in a completely different environment. You're either at the beach or in a mountain or in a desert, and that's wild. But if you could do a little bit of travel and completely pull yourself out of your environment and put yourself into another environment, that can really help jumpstart you. But if you can't, you can also pick a place and just explore it. And I know that this is like back to being on a screen, but it's in a different capacity. So like, let's say, you know, you really want to get some Italian vibes. Well, there's so many YouTube videos of people who go to cities in Italy and they do these really good vlogs. And so you could watch a couple YouTube videos, get some good images, start building a mood board around you that's just like solely based on the location in Italy, where it is specifically. And then that is another way of exploring a place. We have that benefit now. Years ago, you had to go to Italy to know what Italy was like. But now, I mean, hell, if you've got VR goggles, you're basically there, baby.
Like, you can even, like, eat a bowl of pasta, listen to some Italian music, you know, like, really set the vibe here.
Oh my gosh, putting on foreign music is so transformative. Yeah. I have a French playlist, and whenever I put it on, it just completely takes me back to Paris, and I can smell the smells and taste the tastes, and it's fabulous.
Yeah, I have a Parisian cafe playlist that I just love. It's like sitting on the terrace with a glass of Chablis and a sketchbook, you know, that's the vibe. That's exactly how it feels. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that idea. And, you know, also, you know, maybe you'll inspire your next trip, but you could also research the person's venue or something like that too. It doesn't have to be, you know, Italy, which does sound great, but it could be anywhere, and it could be as specific or as loose or completely unrelated as you want. But any of that, I mean, you're totally right. There are so many great YouTube videos out there. And I am picturing the Amalfi Coast in my head now, and I'm just thinking of all the little lemons and the blue tile and all of the things that come along with that, you know? So,
yeah. Great idea. Yeah. So you mentioned exploring the venue. That is my favorite part of onboarding a new client. Sometimes I do it before I even book them. If somebody sends me a venue and I'm like, oh, I always Google it, of course, because I want to see what it looks like. But there have been times where that simple Google search has led to a 3-hour deep dive of me immersing myself in this place I've never been. Because if I do book that client, I want to make sure I am really thinking about the setting in which they're getting married. And that's usually kind of a good way for me to tell if I want to book that client, because you can, like, there are just some venues that are just so amazing. And it's like, okay, I am going to work so hard to get this, because this is going to be a great wedding.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, aside from knowing the venue's cost and all of that, it can be just this vibe totally aligns with my design style, that
my
kind of thing.
Yeah, my aesthetic. Yeah, 100%.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so going back to the more in-depth things that you can do to get out of a rut, this is kind of giving yourself a little more work, but Mariah and I both agree that little challenges like this can really jumpstart you. So sometimes it's really hard for us to design the things we have to design, especially if it's for us.
Yes.
It's almost impossible.
100%.
But if you give yourself a little design challenge, and one that we thought of was finding a local company that you drive by and seeing if you could rebrand them. Can you make a new sign for them? Can you make a new brochure? Like, what is, you know, what can you pull out of that brand? And if you're not, like, I'm not really good at logos and branding, but I could look at something and be like, okay, I want to illustrate something for them, a little cartoon of their company and how their company services something.
Yeah.
That could be like an ad that they put in the paper. So kind of giving yourself a design challenge that isn't tied to money, because so much pressure gets put on you when there's an expectation from a client because they gave you money.
For sure. And also when there's a client involved, you're kind of designing to fit their aesthetic, their style, their preferences, whatever they may be. Like, obviously, you know, hopefully you have your own design style, but you're still trying to make it fit what they have in mind and what they've envisioned, right? Whereas when you design something strictly for fun, just straight, like you have 100% creative reign on it, it's different. And that inspiration will probably flow a lot faster. But yeah, so an example in Minnesota, there's a place called, it's called the Kitty Clinic, I think. It's a vet over in Minneapolis, and it's very classic. The sign is just text and a phone number, but I think it has a cat on it. But I remember driving by and thinking, like, oh God, this could be really cute and kitschy, but it's just like some like generic free text. They probably bought this sign in 1970 for the company, just, you know, picked a standard style, right? It could be really cute and really kitschy and really fun. And you could totally play off that. Oh, and by the way, clinic is K. So Kitty Clinic with a K. Yeah. So it's like, you know, that could be hilarious and really cute. And so it's like, you know, if you're just finding something and you're sitting in a stoplight, look around you. What around you? You don't have to actually design that logo, really. But thinking about
it
and how you could make that and what the colors would be and, you know, what kind of funny things you could illustrate to go along with it as supporting, you know, submarks and all of that stuff can really get you just get you going.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Our brain is a muscle. And if we are just using it in our day to day and we're not doing anything to strengthen it, it's going to lose. That's when you're exercising and you just do the same exercise routine over and over, you plateau. You mm-hmm. stop building muscle or advancing or whatever it is that you want to do when you're lifting weights. I don't know. I don't do it. But I do know that you plateau. So I think when we work in our businesses and we're constantly designing sort of the same thing over and over, right? Like mm-hmm. invitations. Of course, they all look unique and whatever. But like at the end of the day, it's words on a page, maybe some illustrations, different colors. It's kind of the same.
Yeah.
You're going to plateau. Your creative juices are going to plateau. And so doing these small little exercises or getting out of your medium, going to those paint and sip classes or whatever is going to help strengthen your creativity because it's going to exercise your brain in a way that it just wasn't thinking, you know, during your workday.
For sure.
Which our brains always feel tired at the end of a workday, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're getting stronger. We're just depleting them.
Yeah, just wearing them out but not feeding them. Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually this guy that I followed on Instagram recently. He's going around his little borough in New York and he's finding signs. Like the first one was this guy who has a van who could help you like get around. And it's man with a van.
Yeah.
And it's just the man's original sign is just a white piece of paper with black text that says man with a van and phone number. And honestly, that sounds rapey to me.
Like it's so sketch. It's so sketch. He's not in the marketing industry for sherzies.
So this guy on Instagram is going around and finding these signs and he is creating these beautiful posters for these people. So he did an illustration of a man with his arms up on top of a van and then there's little slogans at the bottom. So it's a little less rapey.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's so brilliant. It's so brilliant. It's so kind. But like that challenge for that person is probably going to give himself back so much more than a paid for hire project ever will, because he is just totally using his own creative juices to do it. And there's no expectation from the person on the other end. And that is an incredibly invaluable thing for a creative to totally. Just make something.
Yeah, and he's just putting them right on top of the original sign. So he's just doing this for free, just for fun. He's literally just printing one out and putting it on top of the sign that he found. And it's just the sweetest, most wholesome, but also fun and creative idea.
Yeah. So, I also really love that our Instagram algorithms are so aligned.
Yeah. Okay. So other ways to challenge yourself creatively that'll hopefully get your wheels turning and get you inspired. You could also aside from just redoing signs that are posted on your telephone poles, you could also pick, you know, something outside of your wheelhouse. So not designing stationery, you could just pick like a season or a cocktail or a character from a show or a book, pick a location, like we talked about Italy, and design something using that as a theme. It could be like, maybe you're having a cosmopolitan with your after dinner as your after dinner drink. So you've got that light pink color, you could use some richer cranberry tone, some lime green, design a little bar menu or like a cocktail sign or something like that, or a stir stick, anything. It could be anything involved, you know, but just pick a theme and just try and come up with something that fits. I love the idea of designing something that's like pasta related, but not actually pasta for like Italy. You know what I'm saying? Like use like a rich red color, like a flowery white, maybe some squiggly lines that aren't super pasta shaped, a little more abstract, you know? So think outside the box, I guess, is really kind of the point here. But pick something like, you could do a whole suite on just based around a character from a book or a season or a setting of a TV show. It could be anything. And a lot of times when you see mock-ups for like styled shoots or, you know, samples for wedding invitations, sometimes people will use TV characters or characters they love from a book that are getting married, you know, there's a lot of ways to like think outside the box and maybe design something that's, you know, not necessarily for your use, or it could be something like, you know, designing for just for fun and using that to build your portfolio. You could also take a photo of some foliage or, you know, how pretty the city looks today or anything. And then
the sky,
definitely. And you can actually pull colors from that and use that as a palette for your design. The little mini mood board. I have the Pantone app on my phone and you can actually take a photo in that and then it'll pull 5 colors from the photo. They're not always the best colors, so I tend to eyedropper the colors I want out of photos when I'm doing that. But that app alone could be really fun to just kind of scroll through and take photos of random things or photos out of your camera roll and pull a color palette from. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love finding inspiration. Like, let's say I'm not feeling in a super creative rut, but I'm just at the beginning of my design process. I love finding inspiration in anything other than a graphic designed piece, totally. Especially an invitation. And it is still like, you know, early enough in both of our businesses where when we're sitting down with a new custom client, because we have the privilege that a lot of our clients, when they come to us, want something very unique. But the disadvantage to that and being so early in the business is we don't necessarily have a lot of our own work to call upon.
Yeah.
So unless I'm trying to convey a very specific printing technique, like if I'm trying to illustrate to them what foil is or an emboss versus letterpress.
Blind impression.
Of course, I'm going to need a photo of that work so that they can understand that. And if I haven't done it before, then I'll just find an image on the internet, but just let them know, like, this isn't my work, but this is how the process will look. Mm-hmm. But I try to leave all of that off my mood board. My mood board is specifically just to capture the creative essence and vibe of the suite. So yeah, starting with pictures of, you know, a sky or whatever that will then be color dropped to create the color palette.
Yes.
It's so much more helpful to me than finding something that's like, well, this envelope is this color and this paper is this color and here's your color palette.
Yeah, totally. And I love, like, when I go to art museum, like Minneapolis Institute of Arts, I love taking a photo and using that to pull a color palette of, like, a painting. Usually it's something impressionist because that's usually the lightest and brightest stuff, you know, at any art museum. But sometimes even modern art has really bright and vibrant color palettes. And, you know, you can use that photo of that art, which obviously you can't use the art, but you could use that to pull color inspiration from, you know, so using other arts as inspiration in different ways, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Not just being like, oh, I love this art, I'm going to use it as a liner. It's not about that. It's about like, oh, I love how these 4 colors from this painting go so well together, or they fit perfectly with this like springy vibe that we're going for. Like, you know, there's ways to look at other people's art and get inspiration without just copying it.
Yeah. I also just had a thought that, like, if your aesthetic is, or if you want it to be regional. So, for example, my friend Olivia, who runs Trout Design, she's based out of Florida. Her entire vibe is so Floridian and so beautiful. And, like, you could go out into the prominent areas of Florida and pick out the kinds of details, the certain birds and wildlife that she pulls into her designs. So, if you want to have that kind of brand where you are the Palm Springs brand, or you are the Aspen, Colorado brand, or whatever it is.
Yes.
Especially, it really helps if that's your local region. Really centering yourself in the town, in what people are wearing, in how the buildings look, and all of that stuff. I mean, that is so crucial to you. So just going out and sitting with a sketchbook and, like, you know, let's say I decided I wanted to be very like Hermosa Beach because that's what's closest to me. I would go out into Hermosa. I would look at, you know, the buildings, the people, the ocean, the pier, all this stuff. And I would just start sketching like little elements that I would continue to bring in back into my designs and kind of cycle them.
Yeah.
So you could do that too and sort of regionalize yourself, which I actually think is super beneficial for a lot of designers because You book either local clients or people who are of destination weddings in your area. Yeah. If you've got a vibe and it matches a place, people book you and that's awesome.
That's such a good call. If you have a very tropical theme or really great suite with like palm leaves or whatever it is, like people are going to be scrolling and they're going to see that and they're going to be like, oh, I'm going somewhere tropical for my wedding. I want to have them do my invites. Like it's so common that people, you know, work with you because of a specific thing that they saw that you did.
Yeah.
I had a client recently, like, show me something from my Instagram feed from, like, I don't know, 2 years ago. And I was like, ah, I've made it. When somebody's scrolling this far back, I know that I'm in. Yes, I love it.
That is such a good feeling.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, they found something specifically that called to them and they were like, I need this, you know? So yeah, if you can stick to a specific style of any kind, that'll help you. But if you're a regionally based person, so often I feel like we get caught up in this, like, well, you can serve anyone anywhere in the world because almost everything is available worldwide now.
Yeah.
It's like, we kind of lose track with the fact that there's a huge local following, or there's, you know, a massive amount of venues in your area or whatever it is, or that's where people like to have their destination weddings, et cetera. That can also be capitalized too. So
yeah. Great point. What's great about it is you can recycle a lot of stuff. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I know Olivia's used her seashells and her pond fronds and the little birds. I don't know what they're called, but flamingos. They have really long necks. They're not flamingos. They're like, they aesthetically look like flamingos, but they're not. They're these other birds.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she reuses them a lot, and that's just really smart. It's just smart business practice.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've already started talking about the mood boards, and that's kind of our next step of, like, all right, you've gone outside, you've taken photos, you've seen a thing, like, how to come back to your desk and sort of put it into motion of getting you back into design. And Mariah and I both agree that, like, making that mood board is the first step. Being transparent with either just yourself or your client of where this inspiration is coming from and walking you through that is going to be super helpful. So what kind of stuff do you put on your mood boards?
I mean, anything, especially anything that they've mentioned specifically, you know, things like florals. If they say, you know, we're going to have really bright florals, but everything else is going to be super, like, neutral. Like, great. I'm going to have a bright pop of florals somewhere in that mood board with, like, a very neutral tablescape, or, you know, some sandy sunset or whatever it is. I think that for me, it's like, I also find a lot of inspiration in fashion for my own side of things, but that's not necessarily something I include on mood boards for my client because it doesn't really relate. I do try and keep it, like, obviously I'm mostly designing for wedding clients. So I do try and keep it, like, wedding, like, related. So table settings, florals, cool candles or candle holders, you know, bridesmaid dresses. If she's mentioned that she's going to have this super floral lacy dress, or she's wearing something really unique, like, those things should all be kind of included in that too. But yeah, so wedding related, but definitely not stationary, unless, I think you kind of talked about this, but I don't really include stationery unless they specifically mention a design of mine that I've liked, or if there's a specific process that they like, I have to have blind impression florals.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only time I include stationery actually on my mood board.
Yeah, same, 100%. And I also use a lot of fashion because I think fashion photography specifically could really capture the essence. Like, if the person's head back and laughing, that is so light and airy and... but then when you have a very postured woman in a slender dress with, like, you know, a serious kind of face on, that says to me, like, modern, chic, you know, sort of more like New York wedding, edgy almost.
Totally.
So I feel like fashion photography can capture a lot of emotion, and that's really, that's what a mood board is. Like, it's emotion. It's, I think when you start to put too much stationery on it, then it becomes a concept board. And I feel like concept boards don't really work well with clients because, number one, they've never done stationery before. Yeah. And number two, they're not always the best at visualizing how this can translate to that. And I've noticed that anytime I've even had to show clients, like, you know, a sample of something, they'll be like, oh, but I don't like that purple. And I'm like, well, this is just an already printed project. And I'm just showing you what.
I didn't custom make this just for you.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that you're very right in calling it a mood board versus concept board. I think those two things are so different. And I think it's a really great way to definitively separate those two ideas. Yeah, like a concept board is what I'm using when I'm designing. Like, oh, I really loved this font. I really loved this color palette. They really liked this design that I did. Boom, there's your concept board. But that's definitely not what I'm going to send to the client.
Yeah. And I know that there's a lot of conversation in groups of creatives as to whether or not they would even spend time on creating a mood board. I definitely know several stationers who think it's a waste of time. But I've found it to be really successful because of the way that I do my process. Like, I start with a mood board because I have a brief conversation with the couple about their wedding and I look at their wedding venue, but a couple could book a bougie, fancy venue, but tell all of their couples or all of their guests they could wear jeans. You don't really know 100% of how all of their details are going to tie together. But if you put together a mood board that is feeling too elegant or too maybe eccentric, they're going to feel that. You can feel that by looking at the mood board, like, oh, you've got too much hot pink on here, or, you know, this is really like bold and aggressive feeling and we're kind of more of like a softer palette people.
Yeah.
To me, those conversations are so much more helpful than I really like this font that I've seen on this person's work. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to go buy the license for that font. So I will find a similar font, but
I feel like also most couples have a Pinterest board. If you don't want to create a mood board, if you don't want to show them a mood board, maybe just use what they have on their mood board, which is their Pinterest board. That could be enough as well, you know? So, I mean, you know, maybe not everyone is going to do a mood board, but I would at least ask to see theirs. In fact, I do ask to see their Pinterest boards every time because it's like, you get a little bit of like an idea of what they're looking at, what they're seeing, what they're liking, you know, because even everyone's Pinterest algorithms are different than each other's, but there's, you know, they've accumulated, you know, enough pictures and usually they're using one Pinterest board for their whole event, right? So you're going to have inspiration for how they want their photography to look, inspiration for how they want their florals to look, inspiration for what table settings they want to use kind of all compiled into one. So unfortunately there can be some stationery in there too. So, you know, if you're looking to avoid, you know, designing something like someone else's, but
sometimes it is interesting to see what they've saved just because, like, I know I had one client where when I talked to them, it sounded, based upon their venue and how they described it, it sounded like they wanted something edgy. Mm-hmm. And then when they shared their Pinterest board and I opened it up, everything was really rustic. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of surprised. And so then I had this bit of a clashing moment with the mood board I was building because I was still kind of tied to the edgy idea. But I forcefully put in some rustic elements. And then when we met and discussed it, they were like, what the hell is this? And I was like, yeah, let's talk about it. Like, how rustic do you want to go? And they're like, we don't want to go rustic at all. And I'm like, oh, well, every single menu you saved was like a craft brown menu with like the burlap twine wrapped around it.
And little 2010 Pinterest board. Yes.
Little table numbers made of wooden cut discs. And like, this is so much rustic crap on there. And they were like, oh yeah, I guess we did save that. But no, we don't want that.
You're like, thank God. Well, no.
I'm glad we discussed.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got your mood board or they have theirs and you're super inspired. I love that. And, you know, like we talked about, you kind of include things like flowers or, you know, color palette inspiration photos, things like that. You could even put little notes in there on why you're including those things in your mood board for the client to see. And, you know, the less stationary inspiration on your board, the more likely your work is going to be completely unique and 100% yours. So some basic guidelines to follow there, but
yeah. And if I ever want to try to pitch a font or something like that, I will usually just take that font and then write out either their names or their venue or like adjectives that go for the wedding, like rustic. Like if their suite truly is rustic, I'll write the word rustic, but I'll put it in the font that I'm kind of thinking of using.
Yeah.
That way I've planted the seed. So when they see their first round of proofs, they're not like, where the heck did that font come from? Like it's already kind of been there.
I love that.
But that doesn't mean we're not going to change the font 9 million times because it's what's happening right now with my current client, but it is okay. Okay. 90% of design is finding the right font. And sometimes It just takes a little bit longer to find it.
I have a client who came back to me with like, she's like, oh, we use this specific font for my save the date. She had them designed elsewhere. And I was like, okay. Womp womp. Fine.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I'm having the exact opposite issue where I did the save the dates for this client. We went back and forth a bunch on the fonts and we nailed it down for the save the date and we nailed down a bunch of other really cute elements. And then when it came around to time to do the invitations, they wiped the slate clean. And now I am just like, okay, I won't be able to photograph, like, not that this matters. The number one thing that matters is that my clients are happy with their invitations. But like their save the dates are going to look like a different save the date, like they're like a different client, yeah. Basically. Like yeah. we fully departured. We said sayonara to everything.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to tie it over is the envelope color.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to have to photograph them separately for sure. But
yeah, which isn't the end of the world, but it is. It's just funny to me because usually as you work with one client down the line, it's like, okay, save the date. We've established your color palette and your font. So when I sit down to do invitations, which is so much more work than a save the date, I at least have my framework. And then when I go to do the day of stuff, which is so much more work than the invitations, I have even more framework.
Yeah.
Like we developed this monogram. We made this little icon. We did this. We did that.
You can reuse paper colors and...
Yeah. And then keep recycling it. But when the client basically wipes the slate clean between part A and part B, you're like, well, damn.
That's the downside of also when you send out save the dates so early and then you send out invitations, you know, the timeline can be really difficult in that front.
Yeah.
Because you did their save the dates in what, like in the fall, right? Or
Yeah. They are having a somewhat destination wedding. So, yeah, there was a pretty big gap, I would say, between them. But I honestly don't think that that necessarily mattered in this case. I think it would have changed anyway.
Changed their minds. Fine. Yeah, it's funny.
It's fine. Okay, before we wrap up, I just wanted to ask you, where have you gone and visited that like really put you in awe and inspired you creatively?
Oh, great question. Okay, well, two notes. So, rather than a place, one thing that kind of always works for me is going on a walk with my dogs. And I look, when I go on walks with my dogs, I always come back in a better mood because I've always felt that the way dogs operate is like, oh, what's this? Oh, what's that? Oh, that's cool. Oh, was that a leaf blowing by? Like everything is exciting to them. It's kind of like a childlike behavior kind of thing. So like, I love just going anywhere with that like childlike mindset, that childlike wonder of everything is interesting and everything is so cool and everything is so exciting. And I feel like if you go out into the world in general with that outlook, you're going to come home and just be in the best mood. You're going to be like, I saw all these cool things. There was another dog. There were these like kids on the playground. There was leaves everywhere, you know, like. It can be such stupid, unimportant stuff, but it can make you happy because you just paid attention to it. I think it's kind of like a being in the moment thing. So generally when I'm feeling like stuck or frustrated or if I'm in a crappy mood, a walk with the dogs and a really good playlist on my headphones, like something just super upbeat, absolutely ridiculous, like singing ABBA down in the park kind of playlist. Those, like that's kind of my go-to. But as far as like one specific place, I don't know. I'm always drawn to art museums. I always find that looking at the classics or finding an artist and you're like, oh, I really like that can be really great. Like, again, talking about just finding a color palette that you love because of a painting that you saw. And I feel like a lot of paintings in particular, I like paintings. That's kind of my go-to. But paintings are really interesting because a lot of them are very dark just because of either age, ink colors, you know, the style of the time, that kind of thing. A lot of it is like religious in theme. And so those things are not that appealing to me, but you can find inspiration, like how they made lighting look, you know, in that dark painting where that one person's face is illuminated so beautifully by the candle in the painting, like that kind of stuff, like that detail really gets you thinking, I think. So that's kind of what I like to look for when I go to museums looking for inspiration is like, okay, I don't like this painting, but if I look closer, what can I find that I do like in it? So also Minneapolis Institute of Arts is free. Hard to beat that. You have a world-class art museum in your backyard that costs nothing. It's all donation-based. So that's definitely a solid one. And then my other one is always Anchor Paper. That's my local paper store, and I took Jillian there several times. But you can walk through the warehouse, and all of the pallets of parent sheet paper is just open, and you can grab individual sheets if you want, or grab a whole pallet, whatever. But I love just wandering through the warehouse and looking at the colors of paper and thinking, like, okay, what could I use? How could I use this? What would this go with? That kind of thing. So that's more of an app, like a directly applicable place of inspiration for me. But yeah, so those would be my answers. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. How about you? Where do you like to go? I'm okay. If you say the beach, I'm going to just cry out of sad coldness, but I won't blame you.
So can I not say Aruba then?
No, you can definitely say that.
Aruba is beautiful. I can't wait to be back. And I do hope to strike some creativity, but I will say that, I'll give two answers as well. One that I do more frequently, and then one that is like a specific place, or I guess it's kind of places. But so we went on that camping trip this weekend, and on our way up into Death Valley, we were just driving through like California mountains, just areas that usually are a little green and kind of yellow because everything's usually borderline dry because it's been a drought here for like 10 years or something. Mm-hmm. Is now the lushest green I've ever seen. Photos do not do it justice, but I still had my phone out the whole time just being like, photo, 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 photo. It was just so gorgeous. And then to witness the transition from this lush, gorgeous, like almost a Scotland-like vibe place into the desert, like the purest desert, like dramatic. Literally the lowest point
in the Western
under
hemisphere.
Sea level in North America. Was so fascinating, and seeing those transitions. And then obviously you lived in Death Valley, so you know better than anyone the colors of the rocks and the difference in the landscapes. All of a sudden you have these kind of like yellow mounds, and then this dark red rock, and then this like aqua green rock. And it's literally, they call it artist palette because that's what it looks like. And yeah, it was just so inspiring to be set back into feeling small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I truly believe that if you don't travel or even leave your house a lot, which I haven't been doing much, I stay home a lot, especially since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You start to just get stuck in the day-to-day of your life, and you start to feel bigger than you are. You start to lose perspective on the outside world, and everything in your life seems so large and significant in almost a scary way.
Yeah.
And then you drive out, and there was this added twist of the fact that this was the first time we were pushing our Tesla to its max as far as like we may or may not make it. So we are in this expansive desert. The road you could see in front of us just goes on for miles and miles and miles and miles. And there's just nothing around you until you hit these large snow-peaked mountains. And the just, you feel, you are reminded of how freaking small we are, how yeah, big this planet is, how small each of us are. And it starts to just shift your perspective about everything. So I got creatively inspired. I got emotionally inspired. I'm not a spiritual person, but whatever spirituality would be for a non-spiritual person, inspired.
Yeah.
And it was really, really great. So that was a big specific location one for me. But somewhere that I really love to just get creative ideas from is the very large Joann's that I live right next to.
Yes, it is the most amazing Joann's. I can attest.
Biggest Joann's I've ever seen in my whole life.
It's absolutely beautiful.
And I will walk over there. I'll get a coffee. I'll walk into Joann's, and I will just snake through their fabric area and just look at all the patterns and the colors and the textures. And I usually leave with an idea or two in my pocket that have nothing to do with anything that I saw, but just somehow one thought leads to another thought.
Yeah.
And then I also usually leave with craft supplies that I don't need. So yeah. It's a mutually beneficial relationship.
I would call that the store like wander. Like everyone needs a good Target wander every now and again, like with no intention to purchase anything necessarily, but just like to totally just go wherever your little heart takes you and see what's there to be seen. I feel like that is definitely a mental break that I take a lot, is going to even the grocery store and just like leisurely getting groceries, or going to Target for like one thing, but wandering down every aisle. Like that's kind of the same concept, but I love that. Your Joann's is truly superior to any other Joann's I've ever seen.
Agreed. If you're anywhere near Torrance, California, the Joann's in the Del Amo Mall is magic. The best Joann's ever.
It is. It really is. Worth the trip.
Worth literally flying out
here.
We give it
two Michelin stars.
If you are listening to this episode on the Monday that it airs, I encourage you to immediately run to your Target, because last night they put out their summer stuff and the color palettes. We went to go pick up a t-shirt for my husband, and the blues that they had in the men's t-shirt, like I'm going to go and buy some of these t-shirts in a small for myself.
They
were such perfect shades of blue, and the shorts and even the bathing suits for men's, like all the colors were really spot on. I didn't get to the women's section, but I'm going to have faith that it's equally as beautiful. So yes, even just going to Target and walking through their home goods section or their fashion sections and like handles. Just looking at colors and sniff some candles, get yourself in the mood. Yeah,
absorbing all the things.
I actually wish we mentioned that earlier. Walking through Target
is
100% inspirational.
I think the general concept here, if I could sum this all up in one word or one sentence, it would be to just like go out in the world and be a sponge.
Yeah.
Just go out with your eyes open and no distractions and just absorb whatever you can. And hopefully, you know, if we're just all being more in the moment, if we're looking for things to inspire us, or just being completely open to being inspired, hopefully it'll come naturally, and that will make, you know, everything just flow better. Trying to force it is kind of always the problem, or always the culprit, I should say. But
the way that I think about it is there are thousands of people who just hustle and bustle down the streets of New York every day. And then there's that person who stops and takes a photo of someone in a really cool outfit and then puts that on Tumblr. And we're all like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And it's like, you could be that person. You could be that person either in the outfit or taking the photo.
Yeah.
And like, if you want to be the one getting inspired, be the person who's taking the photo. Be looking. Like, don't just move through life thinking about you're going.
Headphones on.
Yeah.
Just
look, because honestly, the collar on a dog could be inspiring. Like, who the hell knows what you're going to see?
Yeah.
So,
perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully this episode helps all of our listeners get out of any creative ruts they might find themselves in. Or if you're feeling frustrated with whatever you're working on, you know, take a little break, take your little walk with the dogs, send us a photo. We'd love to see it. But there's, you know, a world of possibilities out there and a world of inspiration. And hopefully this makes it a little easier to remember where to find it.
Yes. And then when you come back, hop on and leave us a review.
Before you go on your inspiration walk.
No, after the inspiration walk, come back and let us know and leave a review.
Fair enough.
Tag us on Instagram and then go do your work.
Perfect. Yes.
Just kidding.
No, but seriously.
All right, friends. Well, we will see you next week with a new ep. Thank you so much for being patient for us as we skipped a week due to absolute chaos. Shout out to just the Q1 rush of weddings, man. It's nuts.
Why?
Pre-spring weddings.
It's just so funny. I'm reconsidering several things on my timeline right now because of it. It's just like, why did I wait until April to design for these clients when I could be designing in January? You know what I mean?
Well, I'm in the opposite position. Every client that I have right now that is in design, I had slated for like June or July, but they wanted to start early. And for some silly reason, I said yes.
Yeah, it's.
And so on top of doing wedding installations, doing wedding shows, doing this, doing that, I'm also designing suites that technically don't need to be mailed out until July.
Yeah, let's also, as a general rule, can we just like make everyone do styled shoots in the slowest months, like in January and February, rather than I've had several inquiries in styled shoots in the last month, and I'm just like, but why are we doing this at the beginning of peak season? Like, this should be a slow season vibe. Like, what are you doing? So if you're a photographer or somebody putting together a styled shoot, might I recommend waiting till next January or February or wherever it's slow in your area, or just reaching out with plenty of time.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Like, reach out in January for your March, April styled shoot. But yeah. All right, let's wrap it up. We love you guys. We were very serious about sharing your inspiration with us on Instagram. We'll share ours as we come across it, of course. I love it.
Sounds great.
Okay. Ready?
Bye.